Backroads Bill is our tour guide to Northern Ontario. Bill Steer is a traveler and adventurer. He is founder and headmaster of the Canadian Ecology Centre near Mattawa, and he regularly tells us about some of the neat things you can see on the backroads of the north. And this morning, Bill is on the line to tell us about some petroglyphs. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Marcus. You know, this would be a great day to see them because that damp weather really contrasts these petroglyphs.
Well, we've talked about pictographs in the past, rock paintings. What's the difference between a pictograph and a petroglyph?
Yes, we have. We've talked about those Fairy Point pictographs on Lake Missinaubee and the Kennedy Island pictographs and the Upper French River. Those are the ones that are created with that ochre paint. And there's lots of those in northeastern Ontario for sure. There's also petroforms. Those are those rock structures like we see on the side of the road in Nookshooks. And then there's the petroglyphs, which are the rock carvings. Now, we know about Petroglyphs Provincial Park near Peterborough. It's a fantastic collection of teaching rocks. And there are very few petroglyphs, though, in northeastern Ontario, northern Ontario in general.
So the petroglyphs are carved into the rock. Which ones do we have? How common are they?
Well, they're not very common at all. I talked to David Slattery, an archaeologist, and he was amazed that these actually exist. He's actually a fellow of a rock art center in Italy and was amazed at the morphs and the etchings. So they may be, there may be lots of hidden gems out there. We just haven't found them, but these do exist in that Temagami wilderness.
And what do they show?
Well, there's about 11 of them, and there may be more underneath the lichens on the rock face. And I'm just looking on my pewter right now, the moose and the calf and the goose. I mean, they're exquisite. I'll put it in perspective. You know, I've been around looking at things in northern Ontario my whole life. These are in the top 10, a must-see and do, and they're so intricate. I've talked to hunters about them, and the detail is just that.
So it's a moose. When you say it's detailed, how detailed? Four legs and a body and a head?
No, you know, the rock on top is amazing, and that dewlap that hangs below the head
chin.
There on the neck, that's there like you wouldn't believe. So the native artist, took great strides to make sure this looked right.
So how were they carved into the rock? Do we know?
Well, Dr. Slattery says, you know, they're called awls and bores. They're rock tools, and then they finish them off with deer tine, deer antlers, and pecked away at them. And if you blow up the image, you'll see that repeated action on the rock created the image, and it's truly amazing.
Yeah, they're sort of pitted.
They're pitted, exactly.
That you've shown me. And any theories about why they were created?
Well, it's a spiritual place, and they could be aged from 300 to 3,000. Alex Matthias is a member of the Temiagami Anishinaabe, the Deepwater people, and he's lived at the mouth of the Ababaca River in that Wakimika Triangle area for a long time. And this was an important spiritual area. It was obviously the Nostawagan, the inland waterways, and there's pictographs close by as well. But this whole area, I think, was very significant to those First Nations people.
And might there be others in the north, Bill? Do you think there are?
Dr. Slattery thinks so. You know, I think most of the archaeological work is often done because of environmental assessment, and we don't look beyond that because there's a reason when something's going to be disturbed. So they could very well be, but these are a one of a kind, and I'm glad they were rediscovered by Alex, and they're there, and it's truly an amazing spot to canoe into.
Now, we will be posting where they are, but where, you know, people who don't have access online, where can people look for these petroglyphs?
Yeah, I think the best access is that Ferguson Bay access on Lake Temagami on the Red Squirrel Road. If you want to do like a three-day canoe trip, a leisurely three-day canoe trip, you could come from the south end of Lake Obabaka, or you could come from the mine road, the Temagami Access Road. But that's probably the best way. So it's right in the middle of that Lady Evelyn Smoothwater Park, and that's a collection of five wilderness parks. And we know it's a very significant area. Bob Ray stood on the blockade in the 1980s, and after that we have some degree of protection of that Temagami area.
It's pretty remote to go and find. You really want to see these if you're going to go look for them, right?
Well, it is remote, but at the same time, it's a fairly, that's a short canoe trip, and it's well worth the effort.
All right, Bill, you'll be back all summer. Any plans for some of the places that you're going to take us this year?
we're going to have geographic parity around the north, and we're going to see some new gems from Elliott Lake right up to Timmins and everywhere in between. And maybe in a couple weeks, I may be requesting that favorite song of mine, Got to Get Your Moose, Boy, because I'll be in Gros Morne, and maybe we'll talk with Dr. Peter Nosko from Nipissing University and his students. They'll be there.
All right, doing some moose science.
Moose science.
All right, Bill, thanks so much for your time this morning.
I've got a scat. Bye.
That's Backroads Bill Steer. He's an adventurer, founder of the Canadian Ecology Center near Mattawa, and this summer, July and August, Bill will join us each week to tell us about some of the neat features you can explore in the north.